The Nikkei Garden Farmers Market is pleased to announce its return for the third year in a row, running from June to October. The market will take place on the second and fourth Sundays of each month from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Visitors to the market can enjoy a relaxing stroll through the locally grown produce booths, indulge in the delicious locally crafted food, and explore unique artisanal goods made by local makers, while taking in the seasonal beauty of the Japanese garden. To learn more about this event, visit center.nikkeiplace.org.
And welcome back to Intravenous here on Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. I'm Robin.
Ava.
And Pranjali here.
And we have been having a meandering, I'm going to say, conversation that started with, you know, the idea of sort of self-confidence and internalizing shame and how that can turn into self-harm for young women, and it's really becoming an epidemic. And we've branched off and talked a little bit about how social media influences that, and you know, the dangers of just feeling the pressures from the world around us to be all of the things in all of the ways to all of the people. And Ava, when you and I were talking before the show, and you said that your topic was about labor and the idea of invisible labor, it just sort of strikes me now when I'm thinking about how these two conjoin, because the amount of invisible labor that goes into trying to be all of the things to all of the people all of the time, yeah. Right? It's yeah, like, exactly. Holy. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
How do you even feel like you can keep up in these, you know, with that kind of externalized pressure?
Yeah, well, I think you always feel like you're a little bit behind on everything, even if you're trying your hardest to keep up with everything. So it's like this constant feeling of not completely satisfied, even though you're putting in the labor on everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think maybe I can jump in a little bit here and sort of also join the way in which users like us, who don't necessarily create content, do the labor, but also in some way do that labor and effort for these platforms like Instagram and TikTok, for example, by liking those stories and those videos, and this idea of having to feed those algorithms to function in a way that this certain video will also launch onto your friend's page. So there's an understanding that there is no person behind the screen choosing which video will go to which person's For You page and how that kind of works. But this is what actually we as users are deciding, because once the algorithm for an app is written that this is how the For You page is going to work, it's the kind of the users who drive not only the content by making videos and reels, but also by sharing them, using them, liking them, viewing them. So I think that is what some scholars in communication and media studies call the platform labor. And that is the sort of creative labor that is not paid for in any form, or not compensated for, or not recognized even, that becomes invisible labor. So that is all because in traditional, like even Netflix, for example, it's very different in how it works. There is a lot of money that goes into the production side of things. But for example, TikTok, no, there is no production money that the companies have to put in to create certain standards for content. So anybody can put anything in there. And I think that also is problematic, both in terms of the people who are at the exposure end of this, but people who are making it and people who are sharing and liking this as well. Yeah, I think Eva will have more labor-related things to talk about, but yeah.
Yeah, I will pass it to you while I form some thoughts on that. I don't have anything to say just at the moment. Go ahead.
I just thought what was really interesting about what you just said, Pranjali, was this idea of platform labor, which, you know, that's a new phenomenon, I guess, in our world where we are so engaged in online media platforms, right? And that, you know, as the consumers of that media, we become also the labor that drives that, and the yeah, it's mm-hmm. kind of like this slave labor,
yeah,
in such a big way, right? Because we're this mass population that's engaged in this mm-hmm. thing that, you know, we'll just doom scroll until we...
Exactly.
I feel like also, even if you don't necessarily like the content, like I find myself, for example, like with beauty related content where it's like you're looking at people who look like models but they're just the average girl, I even though I don't like the content per se, I almost feel like I can't look away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that just, as you were saying, passes on to the next person, the next page, just video is doing well on this, on my page, because I can't look away, so now the next person gets it, and it's just a circle of, you know,
yeah,
just very harmful, like, media consumption.
Maybe I can also just add in there, I think when we say that there is an inability to do critical thought when consuming such content, I think it is also problematic in the way that these things are designed. For example, TikTok started with a 60 second video content. So there isn't enough time to think about, you know, how it's affecting me or how is this going to impact and what is it doing. It's just enough time to look at it and just kind of let it seep into you. And then you are onto the next video and the next video and the next video. So essentially, the way in which the design happens here is interestingly keeping you hooked, as the these companies would call them. But it's essentially stopping us from thinking critically about, because personally as well, I know I'm doing research in this, heavily invested in all these things, but I still continue to watch the Reels and TikTok for 3 hours. Like, I just can't. I just don't know. I look at my phone at like 8:30 and then, I don't know, it's 11:30 p.m. and I'm like, oh, wow, okay, what was I even looking at? And it's so, so interesting. Yeah, even like the Netflix, that the content that they use for recommendation systems, that is called, and some researchers really look heavily into, and I am in touch with some of those people who look into how these recommendation systems even work and what kind of content is given priority. So, for example, people of color and the content creators and influencers, medium scale, their content is in some way not given attention or is shadow banned more, it's more susceptible to that as compared to other kind of creators. So this is not necessarily how, not to say that technology is not neutral, but it is formed in the space which is society. So that is not neutral. So these technologies, to say that there is no bias in these technologies or in these platforms or these medias, is just not valid. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I had such a good thought, I thought, a little while ago, and now it poofed away, which is too bad. But that's the way it goes. Maybe that means that it's a good time to take another song break mm-hmm. and come back and formulate new thoughts. I know, Ava, you brought a song to play. Do you want to introduce it and
sure.
tell us what we'll listen to?
Yeah, it's a song by Paris Paloma. It's called Labor, and it's about, gendered labor, and especially in the, domestic sense. So, yeah, enjoy listening.
Off this island, this was an escape plan.
This was an escape plan.
Carefully timed it, so let me go and dive into the waves below. Who tends the orchards? Who fixes up the gables? Emotional torture from the head of your high table. Who fetches the water? Stabbing with your fork. I know you're a smart man, and weaponized the false incompetence. It's dominance under a guide. If we had a daughter, I'd watch and could not save her. The emotional torture from the head of your high table. She'd do what you taught her. She'd meet the same. Finger 24/7 baby machine, so he can live out his picket fence dreams. It's not an act of love if you make her. You make me do too much labor. All day, every day, therapist, mother, maid, nymph, then a virgin, nurse, then a servant, just an appendage, live to attend him so that he never lifts a finger. 24/7 baby machine, so he can live out his picket fence dreams.
With you here on Intravenous. I'm Robin.
Ava.
I'm Pranjali.
And we've been a little bit all over the map, but a little bit not also. Talking about, you know, how the ways in the great world of ours sort of pinpoints women in particular gender roles that are or can be difficult to sort of suss out. And one of the ways that this happens is, you know, in the division of labor and certainly domestic labor, which was a topic, Alva, that you were really interested in bringing to the table. Are there specific sort of points and or pressure points, I guess, there for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, men are now doing more than ever in relationships, marriage, and the splitting of domestic labor has obviously improved. We know that there's a time where it was absolutely zero. But the concept of invisible labor is really interesting to me, so I'll give you an example. Say you're splitting up a division of labor, domestic labor, between you and your partner. So you have kids, right? You may decide that the dad is taking the children to their soccer games every Saturday. That is labor. But all the things that go into that before the game even happens is typically still done by a woman. So, for example, you know, consent forms to sign, organizing with other parents to carpools, snacks being made for the game. There's a lot more that goes into labor than just a superficial act of the activity being done, and there's still a hugely disproportionate lean towards women doing that. So, you know, it seems equitable on the surface, but in reality, there's still a lot of gendered labor going on there.
Mm. Thus the invisibility piece.
Yes, exactly. That people don't, you know, a man or whoever's doing the lesser labor doesn't even know that that is happening in order for their task to be made possible. But it's done very silently and the thing can't be done without it.
Right, yeah. Who launders those little uniforms, right?
Exactly.
I think, I don't know if this is going too much off the topic, perhaps, but that's what really interests me, is the form of the invisibility that happens with the roles that we play in the domestic sphere and the roles that we are expected to play outside that, and also the roles that we play for what we call the cleaning of the media spaces. Quote-unquote cleaning here means that flagging certain content for being violent or removing certain videos from the internet. All this stuff is, and all of this work is distributed across the globe. And essentially, it is the female in this global south who are hired in these companies to clean the internet, and they are underpaid because those countries don't have as strict labor laws, or the wages are very low. So it's very easy, for example, for Google to hire someone to clean the content which might come from the word beautiful woman and all the images that come up with it. So cleaning that content, cleaning the internet, is also where it's very interesting, because people are just like, oh, we don't see that content, or it's not displaying, or it's being flagged as inappropriate. But essentially, it's people who are doing that, and it's people of color. It's the females in the Global South who have to work on those content, and they're exposed to that on a daily basis. So things that you don't see, they see all the time. So I think the worst part is that they are not even recognized. They become that invisible in the system of all those things that are happening, not only in the online spaces, but also in the real world, as we understand that. Yeah. So I guess that also relates to your thing that you just mentioned, Eva.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Just thinking about how, you know, in the before times when, you know, they used to refer to it as the pink ghetto, right? Those gendered jobs, and, you know, where a lot of invisible labor happened, and how that still exists. But it's just moving into a new realm, almost, mm-hmm. of workspace and private space, right? Because it's still this differentiation between what's public space and what's private space, right? These folks who are doing the invisible labor of cleaning the internet, we don't see them, we don't know them. It's very behind closed doors, mm-hmm. behind the scenes kind of work, right? And that the machine of you know, heteropatriarchy, consumerism, capitalism, and that machine that drives our society at such a rate and such a force, it will not give up its minions, regardless. You know, it'll just transfer its minions to a different minion, mm-hmm. Based on what it needs, but it will find minions.
Well, even if we talk about the you know, invisible labor in the workplace, like when, you know, birthdays are being organized, office parties, you know, any celebratory sort of thing, women typically take on that role in the workplace, taking notes in meetings, for example. Disproportionately, women do that, and when, you know, men do that, it's taken as exceeding their role in some way. So women still are performing a lot of domestic labor, even in the workplace. So I think what you're saying is true. It just perpetuates everywhere. Domestic labor isn't just it isn't confined to the household. It repeats on the media, in the workplace, and at home, of course.
Mm-hmm. I think anything that I say now will be like going over the hour mark that we have here. But I think this is also interesting in terms of, I think we talked about that somewhere in our conversation, Robin, here. Even if we try to, you know, apply to jobs and try to break those social norms or break the norm, this idea of like hustle culture, the girl boss that we see online, they are not necessarily very neutral in itself. And even this idea of the hashtag body positivity that I looked at last year, to understand, even though we might say on the surface that we are trying to have the content which does not dampen up someone's self-confidence, or it does not affect the self-esteem of the teenagers or the people who are viewing it, but it is still embedded in those social structures that celebrate and that associates a woman with doing cleaning of the course and doing preparing snacks, as you said, for the football game, for the children and the father. And even if we are given the opportunity to go up the ladder in the corporate world and go to those positions of leadership, and I think we talked about it in the last interview in this show, even at those positions of leadership or those positions where we have the space to talk on the table and make change in the system, the voice is really limited in the way that it actually is heard, or if it's actually actionable, or it's just, I've seen some people just calling people who are worried about the climate or are worried about how social media works, just being too unrealistic, being too ambitious. But that's so weird, because if you don't have a certain goal, or if you don't try to make the change, it will never happen. So associating those sort of gendered norms and attributes to these ideas is definitely incorrect, according to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Final thoughts, Eva?
I don't have any, actually, for now. I'll pass it over to you again.
Yeah, fair enough. Recognizing that our time is disappearing, so didn't want you to, you know, not get your last word in. So many takeaways, I think, on today's show, and so many hanging threads that... obviously in an hour, three very smart women are not able to solve the world's dilemmas. But, you know, we give it a good shot here every week on Intravenous. Try our best to bring ideas and concepts and, you know, try to open your minds to new things. So hopefully that's we've done a service to you today about that. I'm not sure what's happening next week on the show, but it will be engaging and gender related as it always is. Democracy Now, of course, is coming up at 11 o'clock, and a bunch of great programming to follow. The Blurred Crusade and a new volunteer who's taking the open mic slot at 3 o'clock. So stay tuned, and we'll see you next week.
Stay hydrated. I mean, it's too hot out there. I was melting this morning itself. So
yeah,
take care of yourselves.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. Get to the sea.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.